A few years ago, a teenaged girl gave birth in the bathroom of her high school prom. She left the baby there and returned to the dance floor. That story, and others like it, caused a public outcry. All but a few states rushed to pass so-called safe haven laws to try to prevent such baby abandonments. These laws allow women to leave their newborns at designated safe places, such as hospitals or firehouses, no questions asked. But adoption advocates say the laws are not doing enough to save newborns and are creating unintended problems, NPR's Madeline Brand reports.
7 years ago, when she was 19 years old, Tawana Davis found out she was pregnant. She was a freshman in college and a straight-A student.
I really didn't have anybody to turn to or confide in, so I concealed my pregnancy the whole 9 months. I gave birth to my daughter in my campus dorm room all alone.
She didn't know what to do with the baby. She panicked and on a cold November night put the baby in a dumpster just outside her dorm. She then called campus security to tell them where the baby was.
I never wanted to kill the baby or make sure that the baby was hurt in any way. I just didn't really know, you know, what to do. I didn't have anyone to talk to.
For Davis, there was a happy ending. The baby survived, and Davis eventually got custody of her daughter, who is now 7 years old. But most news stories were about the babies who didn't survive. And so beginning in the late 1990s, states passed safe haven laws. The reasoning went, if young women could leave their babies in a safe place without fear of being prosecuted for child abandonment, then there would be no reason for them to leave their newborns outside, possibly to die. Law professor Michelle Oberman has been researching this phenomenon for 10 years and recently co-wrote the book Mothers Who Kill Their Children. She says, while well-intentioned, the safe haven laws do not take into account the psychological state the young women are in after giving birth.
These are girls who go into labor. The vast majority go into the bathroom. They deliver the baby into a toilet after having labored silently. And this is sort of a fact worth noting for anyone who's been through labor and delivery. It's generally not a silent process. And then after that, they tend to move into to panic and what some of the psychiatrists who work on this call sort of a psychotic break.
In other words, not someone who's going to have the presence of mind to clean the baby, wrap her up, and then take her to a designated safe haven. There was no safe haven law when Tawana Davis gave birth in 1995, but she says even if there was, she probably would not have used it.
When I was pregnant, when I gave birth, I wasn't really thinking rationally enough to say, okay, well, after I give birth, I'm going to take my daughter to a hospital or I'm going to take her to a fire station.
So the ones who are so freaked out that they would unsafely abandon their child are still doing so.
Adam Pertman is a leading critic of safe haven laws. He's the executive director of the Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute and Adoption Rights Group. He thinks the laws actually encourage abandonments. He says women are now free to leave their babies at safe havens rather than go through a cumbersome adoption process.
The ones who are more cogent, ones who are more thoughtful, but who might not want to be hassled with the formalities of a real adoption, are finding there's another option. So we're increasing the number of abandonments.
Pertman says babies left at safe havens and then adopted will never know their medical history or who their birth parents were. 45 states now have safe haven laws, and all base their laws on anecdotal evidence, on news stories. That's because few states keep statistics on baby abandonments. The federal government itself looked at news stories to come up with a figure of 105 babies abandoned in public places in 1998. 33 of whom were found dead. The National Conference of State Legislatures has done the most comprehensive survey and has concluded that the safe haven laws appear to have a limited effect. Some states report babies left at safe havens, but other infants are still being left by the side of the road, in the woods, and in dumpsters.
Children of Hope, safe haven.
Tim Jacquard is a one-man safe haven operation. Yes, he works out of a small office in his house, which is in a quiet suburb on Long Island. He points to a bulletin board on one wall covered with snapshots of smiling babies.
What we have here is an incredible array of babies that we have placed up for adoption that we have rescued. Little Caitlin, these are little David.
A medic with the Nassau Police Department, Jacquard got involved trying to save babies a few years ago after finding four dead infants in various public places in 3 months. He has kids of his own, all grown, and grandchildren. He says seeing his grandchildren motivated him to take on this cause, and he's gotten so consumed with trying to save abandoned babies that he helped write New York State's safe haven law. Jacquard is convinced that it works.
I have 78 babies altogether that we've been involved in handling and rescuing aiding and putting up for adoption. So to me, 78 is a damn good number. And if anybody tells me that they don't think the program is working, even if you rescued just the one child, is the law working? Yeah.
But he concedes that if it works, it's because of people like him. He is tireless about promoting the law, putting up posters, getting radio stations to air public service announcements. He used to be a regular on Rosie O'Donnell's talk show, and that would bring in a flood of calls. But the key to making the law work in New York and elsewhere is people who are willing to help the mothers before and after they give birth. Tawana Davis, the woman who abandoned her baby outside her dorm, has started a program in Columbus, Ohio. There's another program in Southern California. It means getting involved in the young women's lives. Here, Jacquard takes a call in his car from a young woman whose baby he delivered recently.
Okay, if he's stalking you, I want you to notify your attorney that he's doing that. Yes, yes, I know it's scary.
Once the women contact him, Jacquard makes sure they get prenatal care, and then he gives them cell phones so they can call him when they go into labor. Then he either sends a trained EMT to deliver the baby, or he does it himself. Last year, he delivered a baby in Central Park. Jacquard has driven to a local cemetery. When a baby in the New York area is discovered dead, Jacquard tries to get legal custody so that he can hold a formal funeral with a police escort. He then buries the babies in this cemetery on a triangular piece of land he calls the Island of Hope. It's covered with tiny graves.
We have 43 babies buried here. It's a peaceful place. I come here at least once a month. And say a prayer, say hello to the children. They're not forgotten. That's what it's about. And every time I look at these young children of mine that are deceased, I think of all the newborn babies that are alive with families that are out there that may be here right now. And instead, they're out making a difference in life.
So far this year, despite the safe haven law, at least three babies have been abandoned in New York State, two of whom died. That means another funeral and burial here at this cemetery. The news saddens and frustrates Jacquard. He sees it as a personal failure now when a baby is abandoned and dies. But it makes him even more determined to make sure other young women know there is another option. Madeline Brand, NPR News, New York.